Big Yashikayach, Turb Chaim. Big Yashikayach. Was Les also kissing?
Okay, that's Hashem.
Hashem should bless you that the Shechina Kedoshah should reside in this home. The Simcha Rabba v'Tov Levav. Should be zaycha to all the Shefa, Brachah, and Hatzlacha that comes from Torah being learned together, from Yidden for bringing together. And you should be zaycha to all those Brachas, Begashmias, Ruchnias. Amongst the whole chaver, amongst the whole kilo, all Klal Yisrael, we should bezeichet to bring together always, Bez Hashem, in good places, in good ways. Vivias Mishias the Kedem, they remain Amen.
Amen.
It's also an auspicious thing, right? Because this is the first, since Yom Tov season. You know, this is like I think this is the first for bringing, I guess.
Yep.
No, okay. So, it's a good beginning, Bez Hashem.
Amen.
Amen. So you know, it's important sometimes if a person has to, you have to pace yourself sometimes. So it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So it's important to pace oneself, you know, when it comes to like eating donuts and things like that. But also it's important to pace yourself when it comes to like the Torah of Hanukkah. You can't, you don't want to overdo it. But Melech it is Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and Hanukkah is a beautiful yantif. So you can get sick of donuts, but you can't get sick of Hanukkah, Chas V'Shalom, the Torah of Hanukkah. So I was thinking about it, there's a couple of very famous and popular songs when it comes to Hanukkah. It's not like Al-Anisim, but Al-Anisim is also shared by Purim. But the one Shira, the one song, I guess you can say, that all Klal Yisrael sings and associates with Hanukkah, besides like it's dark outside and it's light. So Mosur is an interesting niggun. I was thinking about it. What's Mosur about? Mosur is singing about the Jewish people's sort of ongoing experience with the Dalet Malchus, the four kingdoms, the four exiles, right? Bavel and Paras and Madai and Yavan and then finally Edom. First of all, it's a very strange thing to sing about. Especially, it's one thing if everything, like once Mashiach comes and we're finished with all four exiles, okay, so I understand. So you can sort of look back and celebrate the experiences in some way. But we're still in the thick of things, you know? So I understand that Bavel's gone and Yavan and Paras and Madai and so on. But, you know, Edom is a pretty serious one and we're still in the middle of it. So it's a funny thing to sing about the Dalet Malchus. The question is also, what does it have to do with Hanukkah? I mean, Hanukkah is obviously a nitzachin over the specific malchus of Yavan. So if you want to sing specifically, Yavanim, that stanza, whatever. But why are we talking about all Dalet Malchus, all four kingdoms when it comes to Hanukkah? So why are we singing about the four kingdoms? And why are we talking about Bechlal? Why are we dealing with the four kingdoms when we should be focused on just one of them, which is the Golus of Yavan when it comes to Hanukkah? Okay. So, there's a klal from the Sefer Yetzirah. So, in Sefer Yetzirah is well known that the Sefer Yetzirah says that every month is connected to a particular letter of the Aleph Beis. So, it says in Sefer Yetzirah, the month of Kislev is the letter Samach. It's the letter Samach. Now, there's also a klal that to understand any Inyan, you have to see the first place that it's mentioned. So, what's the first pasuk, the first place that the letter Samach is mentioned in Torah? So, the first place it's mentioned is in Parashas Bereishis, where the pasuk talks about the four rivers flowing out of Gan Eden. Nahar Yotzim and Hagan, Lahashkas, Nahar Yotzim and Eden, Lahashkas is Hagan. Misham Yipar, Bahari Lafar, Larba Roshim. So it says the four rivers that come out of Gan Eden. So the first river is Nachal Pishon. And it says, Hu Hasoivev Eretz Achavila, that the Nachal Pishon, the first river mentioned, surround, it goes around. It's Soivev, Eretz HaChavil, the land of HaChavil, the land of the Chavila. Ashasham HaZav, the land of Chavila has gold. The Zav Eretz HaHitoiv, and the gold of Eretz HaChavila. Now, does it have gold? You should know it's very good. That's good gold. Sham HaBedoilach Vevin Ashayam, it has other jewels, other precious gems. Sham HaBedoilach, it has, I think, crystal, and Evin Ashayam, other precious gems. So the first place Samach is mentioned is again in association with these four rivers, and specifically the first one with the word Hasayviv, Hasayviv Eretz Achaviv. Now the truth is, these four rivers, according to the Medrash, Medrash Rabbah and Parshas Bereishis, the Medrash interprets these four rivers to correspond to the four kingdoms, the four Malchus. So already you see that again, like I said before, that the song of Hanukkah is somehow, the new Hanukkah is celebrating the four Goliaths, the four exiles, the four Malchus of Bavel, Persia, Madai, Yavan, and Edom. And in fact, Kislev is the letter Samach. The letter Samach is Soiviv Eretz HaChavila, which the Medrash interprets to be referred, those four rivers, Bechlal, is a remnant of the four Goliaths, the four Malchus. Now, in particular, that first one, because that's what the letter Samach is really about. Nachal Pishon, HaSoiviv is called Eretz HaChavila, Asher Sham HaZov, V'Zavar Eretz HaHitov, Sham HaBadol HaVivin HaShoyim. So the Medrash Rabbah says like this, that first river corresponds to the first exile, which is Bavel. Okay, Bavel. And says the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Chavakuk to explain why the word Pishon, the river Pishon, the word Pishon is connected with Bavel. Fine, it's not for now. Says the Medrash, HaSoiviv is called Eretz HaChavila, that this kingdom of Bavel with Nebuchadnezzar came and surrounded Eretz HaChavila. What's Eretz HaChavila? Says the Medrash, that's a reference to Eretz Yisrael, because Bavel came to attack Eretz Yisrael. Right? The four kingdoms are opposing Eretz Yisrael. They're opposing Eretz Yisrael. Kol Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz HaChavila means Eretz Yisrael. How do I know? Because it says in Pasuk regarding the land, HaMiyachlem L'chazdai, that the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, they long for Hashem's kindness. So Chavila comes to the word Miyachel, Eretz HaChavila. Says the Medrash. So what does the end of the Pasuk mean? Asher Sham HaZov. Over there is gold, and the gold is very good. And over there is Bedoylech, Avnei Shoyam. So says the Medrash, Toy, that the Zav is a reference to Torah. And Nechamad Mizav and Yipaz Rav. Torah is compared to gold. It's even greater than gold. So says the Medrash, so Nachal Pishon is Soiviv Eretz HaChavila. That means Bavel comes to surround and attack Eretz Yisrael. What is Eretz Yisrael? Eretz HaChavila, what is Eretz Yisrael? What's the mile of Eretz Yisrael? Asher Sham HaZov. Says the Medrash, Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael, Ein Chochma Kechochmas Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means when it says, over there is gold. Gold means Torah. Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael, Ein Chochma Kechochmas Eretz Yisrael. Medrash continues, Sham HaBedoylach V'Evan HaShayim. Over there is the precious jewels. Says the Medrash, it means that over there in Eretz Yisrael, there's Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Tesefta, V'Agada. That's the Medrash. Okay, so first of all, a number of things. Why all of a sudden now, when, again, in this like Medrash level of interpretation, where we're talking about the four exiles sort of attacking Eretz Yisrael, first of all, why do we have to describe what Eretz Yisrael is? Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. Why do we have to describe, no, you should know Eretz Yisrael is Mamash Gevaldike place? And for whatever reason, we want to describe Eretz Yisrael's greatness over here. Why are we specifically picking the fact that the Torah of Eretz Yisrael ain't Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael? Second of all, in the details, when you say ain't Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael, it indicates that there is Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's just that ain't Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has a deeper level of Torah. And that's what we find. There's Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Just ain't Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. But then the next part of the Medrash, on the pasuk of, over there is Avnei Shoyam, and Evan HaBedoylech of Evan HaShoyam, the Medrash says, over there is Mikra Mishnah Talmud Tisefta V'Agada. Sounds like outside of Eretz Yisrael, there is no Mikra Mishnah Talmud Tisefta V'Agada. So which one is it? First you're telling me the line of the gold over there is good. It means that there's gold other places too. But the gold of Eretz Yisrael is good, and there's Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. But then the second line of Shama B'doylech V'Ben HaShoyam, meaning over there is Mikra Mishnah Talmud Tisefta Nagad and so on, that means outside of Eretz Yisrael there is no Torah. So which one is it? Is there a Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael just as it doesn't compare to the Torah of Eretz Yisrael? Or there is no Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael? Okay. Another Nakuda. Again, when the Medrash is interpreting that line, Asher Sham HaZov, that over there in Eretz Yisrael there's gold, and gold means Torah, the Zav Eretz Yitoyv, and the Zav over there is very good. So what is the Medrash's interpretation? Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. The Ein Chochma Kechochmas Eretz Yisrael. It's 1 second. Are those two separate sentences? Are there two separate statements? First, there's no Torah like Eretz Yisrael, and there's no wisdom like Eretz Yisrael? In other words, let's say even in math and science and other things, there's no chachma like chachma's Eretz Yisrael. Are those two separate statements? That's what it sounds like. Ain tar katar Eretz Yisrael, vi ain chachma kachachma's Eretz Yisrael. Well, if those are two separate statements, how do you know both from the same son from one pasuk? The pasuk says the gold of Eretz Chavila is very good. What does gold mean? Gold means Torah. So you for there you can interpret ain tar katar Eretz Yisrael. But what's the added line? Ain chachma kachachma's Eretz Yisrael. And if the Medrash means that's the explanation, that the reason why there's no Torah like Torah Eretz Yisrael is because there's something about Eretz Yisrael that gives a lot of chachma, then the language of the Medrash should be Ein Tarka Torah Eretz Yisrael Mipnei She'ein Chachma Kachachma Eretz Yisrael. But that's not the language. The language is Ein Tarka Torah Eretz Yisrael V'ein Chachma Kachachma Eretz Yisrael. So there's two separate points. How do you know both points from just one pasuk? Also, what does it mean, Ein Tarka Torah Eretz Yisrael? So we have Talmud Yushalmi, yeah? The whole system of halacha, which was from Eretz Yisrael. And then you have an entire system of learning from Talmud Bavli. Ein Tarka Torah Eretz Yisrael. Who do we passing like? Bavli Yushalmi. Who is Bavli? One second. Ein Tarka Torah Eretz Yisrael. Ein Chachm Kachach Eretz Yisrael. And yet halacha l'maisa, we always go to Bavli. I can't say always, but the vast majority of times. So, how does that fit with Ein Chacham Kachacham Eretz Yisrael? Ein Tarka Torah Eretz Yisrael. Well, it's a funny thing that Bavel, of all places, should be the center of halacha, Talmud Bavli. This Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuftes and Medav, the Gemara says like this, Amarav, Avir Migdal Mishakeach. What does that mean? So, Rav says, the airspace of Bavel, since in the center of it is Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel that was built by the Dor HaFlaga, Avir Migdal Mishakeach. The airspace of Bavel, which is in the orbit of Migdal Bavel, causes one to forget one's learning. So the airspace of Bavel causes one to forget learning. And the Gemara goes on to say, Bavel u Barsif, the country of Bavel, and Barsif was like in the surrounding area as well, ain't Barsif Kashal Atayr. It's difficult to be Matzliach in learning of all places in Bavel. And Barsif, the surrounding areas, again, all because of the airspace of Migdal Bavel, whatever that means. Like Rashi says, since Hashem made them forget their languages, so it means it's like a Kayach of Sheikh over there. But it's not a Shapella. One second. A Bavel of all places, Talmud Bavli. You're telling me that Bavel is hard to learn over there? They produced the greatest of all time. Right, so Rashi says it means the Amei Aretz. Like it was like such a discrepancy. You had like Amoraim, but then everyone else is not like Mamish, complete Amei Aretz. But it's a Pella. I mean, it's Avir Migdal is Mishakeach. Bavel is Kashal Torah. It's hard to learn over there. Talmud Bavli. But well, again, Ein Tar Katoris Eretz Yisrael. So how do we make sense of all this? Okay. So here's the aside. Where does Torah start? Where does Torah start? What does the word Torah mean? What does the word Torah mean? Torah comes from a few words, but the most basic interpretation of the word Torah means Hayra. Right? It means teaching, guidance. And the basic premise upon which Torah is built is that there's someone to talk to, right? It's like, if Hashem is just purely mamish by himself, then what's the point of having Torah? There's no, you know. Like, Torah means hayra. Torah means to guide somebody. Who that person is, who that nation is, okay, we'll figure it out. But that's, it's predicated on there being at least someone else that you're having a conversation with. That's chayra. So, which means that we know, as I mentioned many times, in the Kitzur Ari, we know that in the very, very beginning of time, so before anything, what was there? It's just the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? Ar Ein Sof. Infinite light of Hashem filled all of Metzius. So l'chor you would say, there's no Torah there, because all there is the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no space. There's no concept of there being anything else. So what do you need? The concept of being Moira Hayra, of guiding Lazulas, of guiding someone else, is completely irrelevant. So Torah doesn't start there, l'chayr. So says the Arizal, so what's the next, what's the, like, step one? Well, step one is, the Rabbanu Shalom hides and conceals and removes. There's a tzimtzum, right? Hashem kivyachol, there's a siluk. There's a removal, so to speak, of Hashem's infinite light, creating like a chalal apanu, this empty space, this empty avir. Oh, so now you have at least the conceptual framework for there being someone else. Because in that empty space, now there's room for other things. And said the Rizal, in that empty space, now Hashem sends rays of light, a kav, Hashem sends some light and some chiyas and some guidance. Light means guidance. That's the word Torah also means, it comes the word or, right? Kiner mitzvah Torah or. You know where to go when there's light, right? Light illuminates one's path. So which light? So you have two, you have sort of like two lights, right? There's the light of Ein Sof, which is before the empty space. And then you have, you know, a ray of light that comes into that empty space to start building things. Where does Torah begin? Well, L'char, you would say, if Torah means guidance, again, as like I said, it's teachings, it's predicated on there being others, then by its very definition, it has to start after the tzimtzum, it has to start after the constriction. Otherwise, there's no, who else is there? There's no one even, there's no concept of anything else. That's what one would say. But that's, and there's a certain truth to that. If you take a look at the, I'm not saying you should, but if one, in Rechav HaSanor, the Hakdama from the Rashash, so at the very, very end of it, so the Rashash says a lush, and he says a line over there, that the side of Torah, the very root of Torah is the Kav, the ray of light that Hashem sent into the empty space. That's Torah. That's the root, that's where Torah begins. Now, that makes sense. Because how could Torah begin before that? Again, before that is just the Rabbanu Shalom. So it's like, there's no conversation. You know, talking to yourself is not necessarily seen as always like a healthy thing, right? So, but that's not really the ultimate truth. It's true, Rashash is right. But there's an emes lamitai. We do find in the, I mentioned this many times, that you know the system of Darizah that we have and the kavanas are built with and so on, it's from Chaim Vital. But we do have a base medrash also from Darizah, from Rabbi Yisrael Saruk, who was probably an earlier Talmud of Darizah, questionable exactly how and what. In the writings of Rabbi Yisrael Saruk, we find the following idea, is that although Torah as we know it, Torah as we can process, begins from after the empty space and on. Like there has to be, the infinite light of Hashem is so overwhelmingly brilliant that you can't see anything else there. So in order to even begin to have a grasp on your own existence, Hashem has to go in hiding to a certain degree. Let alone there to be specific directives in guiding your light and guiding your life like that. Hashem has to sort of be in hiding. The brilliance of Hashem's light has to be a little bit in hiding in order for there to be even an ability to grasp your own existence and certainly to guide your life. But the real secret of Torah is, and the real truth of all truths is that God is so infinite and God is so deep and so mysterious and so unknowable that even in that infinite light that comes before anything, contained within that, somehow, in some way, was also Torah, was also Hashem thinking about the Jewish people. Even before there was even a space in which the Jewish people can grasp their own reality and their own existence. But Nishmas Yisrael, in Hashem's mind, preceded that. Chazal says such a thing, that Hashem was Nimlach b'nishmaseim shei Yisrael. The Rabbanu Shalom, it took counsel with Jewish souls in order to decide to create the world. The oimik of that is that Nishmas Yisrael, which therefore demands Torah to guide them, exists even before there's a space to allow Nishmas Yisrael to recognize itself as an existence. So the truth is that Torah, that the light of Torah exists within that overwhelmingly brilliant light that encompasses, that encompassed all of reality, which is called Hashem's infinite light. The Or Ein Sof that was Mamale and Soivev Kolam, that surrounded and filled everything. In there was also the specific light of Torah guiding, ready to guide the Jewish people, because even though the Jewish people at that time wouldn't even have the ability to grasp their own existence, let alone, again, guiding their life, But even in that place, within God's infinite mind, God was thinking about us. And we have a place to exist even before we can possibly chop us having a place to exist. That's we're more ancient than we realize. We have deeper roots than we realize. So here's the secret. The real truth of Torah is that Torah / the Jewish soul, because we know Yisrael v'Raisa v'Kutcha v'Yichuchad, right? The Jewish people and Torah are really one and the same. That guiding light of Torah is really one's own soul sort of moving forward in the right direction. So the secret is that Torah / the Jewish people truly exist as part of God's infinite light. We exist as part of God's infinite self. That's really where we exist. But that root of Torah is imperceptible to us, because in that place, in that madrega of root, in that beginning, there's no room for us to conceive of ourselves. So therefore, what Hashem has to do is to therefore then create this phenomenon of the empty space to hide His infinite light. And now we can begin to perceive the Torah that was in truth always there. So the etzem, the truth of Torah and the truth of the Jewish people precedes, it's part of a space that's actually full of infinite light. But that space that's full of infinite light doesn't allow us to chop who we are, doesn't allow us to chop the Torah that's being given to us, the Torah that we are. We there's no room for us there. We can't conceive of ourselves there. So Hashem has to create an empty space, so to speak, and to give us the ability to chop ourselves and to chop the Torah that we're being given. But what we are chopping then, which is ourselves and the Torah, is in truth something that predates our ability, it predates the space that we're existing in. It predates that. It comes from before. So let me explain. Based on this, there are two types of air spaces. There's two aviras. There's the avir of Eretz Yisrael, and there's the avir of the 70 nations. Chazal say about the land of Eretz Yisrael is avira de Eretz Yisrael machken. The land of the airspace of Eretz Yisrael gives wisdom. There's two types of air spaces. We usually think of avir as an airspace as empty. That's what an airspace is. It's avir. It's empty. That's the airspace of the 70 nations. But what's the airspace of Eretz Yisrael? The airspace of Eretz Yisrael is not empty at all. Avir Eretz Yisrael machkin. The airspace of Eretz Yisrael contains wisdom. Wisdom means somethingness. Wisdom means light. Wisdom means, you know, Chacham Ein of Bereishai. Chachma is always associated with light. It means like this, that Eretz Yisrael, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim, means that Eretz Yisrael is a place that's reflective, that's a taste a little bit of the root, of the true root of Torah, of Torah that exists as part of an avir, as part of an airspace that's saturated with light. Just as that original root of Torah was Torah as its part of a universe which is full of infinite light, not an empty space that has points of light, which is the Torah that we can perceive, but rather the Torah as it exists in its ultimate root, which is points of light, which is called Torah, but part of a much more encompassing light that fills the entire space. That's what Eretz Yisrael means. So Eretz Yisrael is reflective of what? Of the Torah in its root. The Torah that exists in Eretz Yisrael, the airspace of Eretz Yisrael is saturated with light. It's all in, it's Avir Eretz Yisrael Machken. And it's within that super saturated, dense, not non-empty space of Eretz Yisrael, over there Torah exists. But just as we said that the Torah as it exists in that madrega is imperceptible to people, because we can't imagine ourselves existing unless there's an empty space. So too, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that ultimately the truest madrega of Torah, the truest root of Torah, the truest identity of Torah exists in Eretz Yisrael, but without it being funneled through an actual empty space, then we're not going to be able to perceive it. Because those points of light, which is Torah, is so overwhelmingly swallowed up in the all-encompassing light of Ein Sof, that unless you are Ein Sof yourself, you're not going to chab. So there has to be this partnership between Avir of Eretz Yisrael with the Avir of Chutz Laretz. The Avir of Eretz Yisrael means the infinite light of Hashem that's before the empty space, that in truth contains within that the true essence of Torah. And the Torah, and that's really where Torah exists. And this is what the Medrash is saying, that Ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael, the Ein Chochmah k'Chochmah Eretz Yisrael. Means the madrega of Torah that's unique to Eretz Yisrael is that it's a Torah that's still part of that saturated airspace of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Chochmah of Eretz Yisrael. Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim, Ein Chochmah k'Chochmah Eretz Yisrael, is because there's no empty space in Eretz Yisrael. Every single centimeter of air is full of light, is full of Chochmah. And the Torah exists as part of that. That's why Ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael is because the Torah is not just individual pieces of light and guiding individual neshamas. It's individual pieces of light guiding individual neshamas as part of the all-encompassing infinite space and an infinite light that fills that space. That's Ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael. The Ein Chochmah k'Chochmah Eretz Yisrael. Because the Torah is part of that all-encompassing chachma, all-encompassing light, the avir d'Eretz Yisrael that's saturated. But because of that, therefore it's imperceptible. Therefore, Talmud Yerushalmi, despite the fact that it's the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's touching the very root of Torah in its purest form, but it's not processable for us. And therefore we can't follow it in halacha because it's hard to discern even our own existence in that place. Therefore, what happens is that essence of Torah, which is in Eretz Yisrael, becomes perceptible and processable and manageable and graspable as it travels through the empty airspace of Chutz Laretz. So we paskin like Talmud Bavli. But the actual Torah of Talmud Bavli is in truth rooted in Torah Eretz Yisrael. But when Torah of Eretz Yisrael finally makes its way through Chutz Laretz, now it's perceptible, now it's graspable. Because it's gone through that vacuum that's called Chutz Laretz, and now the Torah, which was rooted in infinite light, is now accessible to us, is now graspable. It's been, the points of light, which is Torah, have been isolated from their infinite surroundings to now be perceptible. So the truth is, there is no Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael. But the only Torah that's graspable is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Because all Torah, ki mitziyim teitzei Torah dvar Hashem Yishalayim, that pasuk is saying the absolute truth. There is no Torah other than Torah that emerges from Eretz Yisrael. But it has to travel through Chutz Laretz dikei Eretz space in order for it to be graspable. And once that takes place, you could pasuk like Talmud Bavli. Now, this is why, of all places in Chutz Laretz, the one country, the one place which produced the most accessible and most practical and the most graspable Torah and Halacha was Dag Bavli. Because all of the Avir of Chutz Laretz is an Avir Panoi, is an empty space. But there's one Avir of all places which is mamish empty, and that's called Bavli. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Avir Migdol Mishakeach. That the airspace of Bavel is so prone to emptiness that even information that you have while living in that airspace gets out of your head. But that's actually its strength. Because it has that quality of emptiness, now when you have the infinite light, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, which is subsumed and completely imperceptible because of its infinite light that's surrounding it. When you now channel that into Eretz Yisrael and now into Chutzarts, into Bavel in particular, and now Bavel has a way of removing light and isolating those particular points of Torah, which is really Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Now you have Tam Bavel. Now you have Tam Bavel. When you isolate Chutzarts from Eretz Yisrael, then you have just forgetfulness. When you have Eretz Yisrael without Chutz Laretz, you have an overwhelming brilliant light, but it's imperceptible, it's ingraspable. You can't perceive the details in that. When you have Eretz Yisrael through Chutz Laretz, now you have Torah in a healthy way. Now you have a Torah that's revealed. Now you have Hayroah. Now you have a guiding light. This is why, even within Eretz Yisrael, it's an interesting thing. Why, if you think about it, in all of Chumash, until Sefer Yeshua, what is the land of Eretz Yisrael called? Eretz Canaan. Why would it be called Eretz Canaan? I understand the Canaanim lived there, but it's ours. You see this in Halacha. Eretz Yisrael was not sanctified by Kedushas Haaretz until Klal Yisrael comes in there to sanctify it. It means that the Ribbono Shel Olam made the system in such a way that Eretz Yisrael began as Chutz Laretz. Why? Why can't Eretz Yisrael start as Eretz Yisrael? Why does it have to be Chutz Laretz converted into Eretz Yisrael? The answer is because Eretz Yisrael in its purest form is imperceptible. It ain't Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael, but because of its brilliance and because of its existence in Eretz Yisrael in terms of its ultimate root, it's imperceptible to us. So it doesn't do anything for us. There has to be a vacuum of Chutz Laretz, a filter of Chutz Laretz over that brilliant light of Eretz Yisrael in order for the light of Eretz Yisrael to be perceived. So even within Eretz Yisrael, there has to be some level of filter. So even within Eretz Yisrael, there has to be some shirayim, some residue, some beginnings of Chutz Laretz there. And even with that, Talmud Yerushalmi that's produced is also not practical enough to help the Paskin Halachas from. But when Eretz Yisrael, when Taras Eretz Yisrael moves in, goes through actual Chutz Laretz in Befrat Bavel, now it's perceptible. This is the side of what Kislev is. Kislev is what's Chanukah about. Chanukah is about Kiner Mitzvah Torah. Everyone knows that Chanukah is a yontif that's revolving around the light of Torah, the influence of Torah, the ability of Torah to illuminate the world, to illuminate the Rishos HaRabim. Torah is from Eretz Yisrael, but its ability to illuminate and to be graspable, to be something that we can sink our teeth into and to actually guide us in a practical sense is only when the light of Eretz Yisrael is able to travel through the lens and through the vacuum of Chutz Laretz. This is why of all the Yom Tovim, the one Yontif that shows you how Eretz Yisrael itself can be Chutz Laretz-like, and the line between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz is somewhat blurred, is Hanukkah. Why? Of all the four exiles, the one exile that actually took place in Eretz Yisrael was Yavah, was by Golus Hanukkah, right? So it means that, one second, I thought Golus means Chutz Laretz, and yet somehow Golus Yavin is in Eretz Yisrael. That means that even Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz kind of have this weird, they're actually not as distant from each other, ironically. So the Golus of Yavin means sort of turning Eretz Yisrael into Chutz Laretz, which means that once we have the victory of the Yavanim over, of the Chashmonim over Yavin, the Nahapechu, then what happens? Then it becomes revealed through Hanukkah that Chutz Laretz could actually be also Eretz Yisrael. And it's only because of that hybrid, that symmetry, that yichud between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, then now you have Torah R. Now you can have Torah that illuminates, a Torah that has its pure in its essence, which is Eretz Yisrael, but it has the ability to then be graspable and be discerned and be picked up on and to guide a person and to guide the world through the prism of Chutz Laretz. This is also why it's interesting. When do we, you know, the whole mitzvah of Chanukah is to light the menorah by the house, but to illuminate the Rishus HaRabim. That whole inyan of it being sort of a bridge between these two worlds. Eretz Yisrael is the house of Klal Yisrael. The Rishus HaRabim means Chutz Laretz. But that's the secret of Chanukah. The secret of Chanukah is Nerushu Beisai. It's the candle of the home, But the purpose of that candle is to illuminate the street. Is because ultimately, the only way it could illuminate is through its association with the street. That's the only way it can do it. And it's that could ain't Torah Torah Eretz Yisrael, but it only is graspable specifically when it's channeled through Chutz La'aretz. This is why it's an interesting thing. The Gemara says again, it's like it's almost as if Hanukkah is the sort of rectified version of Bavel. Like Bavel, when Bavel is harnessed properly, then it becomes the perfect vehicle for Torah Eretz Yisrael, for Torah Eretz Yisrael to illuminate the world and to guide every single detail of life, which is Talmud Bavli. Again, this is why the Kislev, which is the letter Samach, is connected specifically to that first pasuk, which is talking about the goals of Bavel attacking Eretz Yisrael. And what's interesting is that in the simple Pshan, the pasuk isn't talking about the river attacking the land. It's the river bringing out the beauty and the greatness of the land, right? When we read the Psukim Kipshutai, in a simple terms, the river that surrounds the country of Chavila is the pride and joy of the land of Chavila. Chavila is a great country. Why? Because it has Nachal Pishon surrounding it. But then the Medrash interpretation is, one second, the river represents Bavel, which is attacking Eretz Yisrael, which is the land of Chavila. But the oimik is that once you work through the galus, then it turns out fakir ain't tar kataris eretz yisrael zav eretz ahitoyv shama v'dach vav nashoyam, and it's specifically perceptible and graspable because of the nachal pishayin, because of bavel that attacks eretz yisrael, that somehow forces the Jewish people into bavel, which again leads to next galus and next galus and next galus, and now you have the tar of eretz yisrael being channeled through the prism and the lens and the empty space of Chutz La'aretz, and now you have Taka Torah that's perceptible, a Torah that's great, the Torah that's able to illuminate the world. Ultimately, the Dal Malchus ultimately are staying Chutz La'aretz. It should be over very soon, but our staying Chutz La'aretz is channeling the iris of Eretz Yisrael to be luminescent, to be illuminative, to be able to guide the world and to turn the world into a lichtige place. That's only because of the light of Eretz Yisrael being channeled through Chutz La'aretz. And again, that's the end of El Chanukah, which shows us that Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz can be bound to each other. That's why even in Halacha, when the Goyim came in to the Beis HaMikdash, bo pritzim v'chalua, there was an emptiness. There was almost a vacuum effect, removing the airspace of Kedushas Habayis from the Beis HaMikdash, through the Yevanim, creating this sort of like empty space, which is the Avir of Chutz La'aretz. But that's exactly, ultimately, even Hapichu, that becomes the beauty of Chanukah, the illumination of Chanukah Davka, because Eretz Yisrael is channeled through Chutz La'aretz. This is why, just one last point, this is why one can say that it's mamish, you know, the Gemara says, again, that living in the orbit of Migdal Bavel causes one to forget. But what's interesting is that Chanukah, there's a unique halacha to Chanukah that we don't have in anything else, which is Birchas Haroya. That when you look and you see the Chanukah candle, then that gives you the ability, even if you're not the Baal Bas, it's not your Chanukah candle. When you look at the Chanukah candle, in halacha, without going into the details of this, you can make the bracha of Shasidisim Lavisena Biyamim Azmanazah. By looking at the Chanukah candle, by being in the airspace of the Chanukah candle, you're able to remember. Because it's the flip side of Bavel. It's the rectified version of Bavel. And that's what's amazing. The Migdal Bavel, what's the chilik? What's the chilik? How does one ensure that one's Chutz La'aretz is acting as a prism for Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to standing on its own? See, again, when Chutz La'aretz stands by itself, then it's just an empty space. Then it's just purely empty, and you forget everything, and it's terrible. But when that emptiness is then used as a vehicle for the light of Eretz Yisrael, then fakert, then Torah Or, that's the end of Chanukah, that illuminates the whole world, that's Afosis Mayonis Chutza, that's Gevaldik. What's the chilik? Well, the chilik is Migdal Bavel versus Chanukah candles. Migdal Bavel was very, very tall. Chanukah candles are specifically very low to the ground. when the emptiness of Chutz La'aretz is isolated from Eretz Yisrael, then what's produced in that is a sense of gaiva and yeshus of ani v'afsiyoid, I'm in charge, because there's no one else. That's called Migdal Bavel. And then looking at Migdal Bavel and being in its orbit causes one to forget. But if a person is taking that emptiness and that hollowness of Chutz La'aretz, but instead of building one's own Migdal Bavel in that emptiness, but rather makes himself small and humble and is looking for the light in the lowest of places, then fakert. Then that emptiness of Chutz La'aretz now becomes a prism through which the light of Eretz Yisrael is able to be spread to the whole world, and that is the light of Chanukah. And then fakert, instead of it being a source of forgetfulness, it's a source of memory. And it's a source of guidance and hayrah to the whole world, and guidance and lichtigkeit to the whole world. That's the month of Chanukah, that's the month of Kislev. It means the halacha l'maaseh is that the avoid of the month of Kislev as we refer to Chanukah is to realize that, first of all, a number of points. First of all, it means that whenever you're sitting and learning, it means anything that you're learning, Chomesh, Mishnayos, Halacha, Kabbalah, Medrash, you name it, Musar, Chassidus, you name it, whatever it is that you're learning, it means at that moment, it's Aver Veretz Yisrael. You're an Aver Veretz Yisrael. The Ish B'Tzur, in fact, said this. I realize this now. The Ish B'Tzur Taka said this. The Ish B'Tzur said, Ratzadik quotes it in the name of his Rebbe, that the Gemara says, Laimatzak Lish Baruch Hu, that after the Israel was destroyed, the Rabbanu Shalom, what's the Lashon Gemara? Laimatzak Lish Baruch Hu, only Dalad Amma Shalalacha, right? He's only, the Rabbanu Shalom finds himself in Dalad Amma Shalalacha. The Ish B'Tzur said that when a person's learning, that airspace of the Dalad Amas that you're learning in becomes the airspace of Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means that Hashem is residing in Dalad Amas Shalalacha. But that's the Nakuda. When you're learning, it means Eretz Yisrael there. And the way to make sure that that Torah, which is rooted in Eretz Yisrael, is going to find its way into your blood system, into your kishkes, and it's going to guide your life, and it's going to illuminate the Rishus HaRabim, in order to make sure that the light of Eretz Yisrael travels through that prism of Chutz La'aretz to allow it to be dispersed and spread and grasped by all things, you have to approach that learning through seeing yourself as empty and small and as deficient as light, of light. When you make yourself tiny and small, like Lamata Me'asor Tvachim, and from that place of emptiness, you then engage in Torah, which is Eretz Yisraeldik. Now you have a yichud of Eretz Yisrael with Chutz La'aretz, and from there is Afatas Mayonis, and it illuminates the Rishus Rav. And that's the gravide, always to look deeper and to find something deeper within the Torah, to find something within yourself, and to approach Torah and to approach Avodas Hashem with achnoah and shiflus and bittul and a sense of thankfulness over the fact that someone like me is given the opportunity to connect to a pasuk in Torah which is coming from Eretz Yisrael. Like that sense of haidah, that sense of thankfulness, and a karas ha'tov, which is also the Yom Tov of Chanukah, from there a person is zaycha to be able to unite Eretz Yisrael with Chutz La'aretz, and when that yichud takes place, like I said, then there's Torah Ar, and it's mayor to the whole world, and illuminates even the Rishus HaRabim, ad sh'tich l'regel m'nashuk. We should be zaycha talk about through our eskashas, the Yadav of Chanukah, and the Oris of the Tzaddikim, and the Oris of Torah, which we talk about Zaycha, that the Or of Torah, the Or of Mitzvahs, the Or of Neshama, the Or of Pnimis HaTorah should illuminate Chutzah, 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 and we should be Zaycha that all the Rishos HaRabim, Ad Yuta HaTachtoina, should become Lichtig, and Meir Me'atzma, Yubias Gotz HaGrachim, and Meir Me'atzma.
Some Mazzur Zashir.